Well, a good morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. You know, the word says, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. I'm feeling awful strong right now, thank God. A little scary. Not sure what the rest of the day is going to bring, but the strength I feel tells me something big is coming. Enough about me. Back to the God School. This is the place where we attempt to reveal God and speak about Him as He has given us His Word, which does reveal to us our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. It says in our homepage, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, and properly translated, in everyone that faitheth. It doesn't say to, it says in. You know, it's Friday. It means all week has gone by and I haven't delivered a message. I tell you, there's no doubt I struggle every week in an attempt to continue declaring the good news of Jesus Christ and of God our Father unto the world, that those who have ears might hear and grab hold of God's word, of God's promises by faith, that they might be, I'll use the King James translation, justified in the sight of God. By faith, the reality is, and the better translation of that passage in Romans 1:17 is, the righteous by faith shall live. So as I was, as I say, struggling all week, it came to mind a verse that we find in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Now, that 13th chapter, Jesus is, it's the chapter is just full of parables. And Jesus, it says in one place that without a parable spake he not. That those who have ears may hear. So we're going to do a little hearing today. In the 49th verse of that 13th chapter, it says, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Who's the just? The people that are faithing, that are grabbing hold of God's promises in spite of circumstance, in spite of what they see, in spite of what they perceive. because they're living by faith, not by sight. They're living on God's word. And Jesus said that a man shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I'm talking to the just. I'm talking to those who live by faith. It says, and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. And there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. He's talking about hell, folks. And Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things, these parables? And they say unto him, yea, Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Today, I want to bring something out that is new to 99% of those who might be hearing this message today, but it is very old. A very important book in the report of our Christian heritage is a book called The Acts and Monuments of the Christian Church. It's better known as Fox's Book of Martyrs, which, you know, most Christians have never even heard of it, let alone ever been exposed to it. It gives an account or a chronicle of the history of the church from the time of the apostles of Christ until and through the Reformation of the Christian church. And in it, it tells a story of a man. His name is Patrick Hamilton. He was an Englishman. He was a student of Martin Luther. He wound up being killed for his faith. I'm not going into his whole history. I want to go in and show you that this that has been being taught at the God school is unfortunately new to so many, but comes, and it is very old. Patrick Hamilton gives a how do I want to say this? He gives insight into the Old Testament, wherein law prevailed, and into the New Testament, where the grace of God through Jesus Christ is declared. A few excerpts from Patrick Hamilton's expose on the law versus the gospel. He says, the law bids us to do things which are impossible for us. All you fundamentalists out there who think that somehow or other you're going to present your righteousness in the keeping of the law to God, open your ears. The law bids us to do things which are impossible for us. He says, the keeping of the commandments is to us impossible. The law commands to us the keeping of the commandments. Therefore, the law commands us that which is impossible. But you will say, wherefore does God bid us to do that which is impossible for us? I answer, to make you know that you are but evil. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I answer, to make you know that you are but evil and that there is no remedy to save you in your own hand. And you may seek remedy at some other. For the law does nothing else but command you. And then he compares, if you will, the doctrine of the gospel. He says, the gospel is as much to say in our tongue as good tidings, good news. Like as these that following and such other. The good news. Christ is the Savior of the world. It's John 4:42, Luke 2:11. Christ is the Savior. Romans 5:6. Christ died for us. 2 Peter 2:1. Christ bought us with his blood. And the blood is a symbol of the life. It's the life Jesus not only lived, but gave for us. Revelation 1:5, Christ washed us with his blood. Galatians 1:4, Christ offered himself for us. Isaiah 53:6, Christ bare our sins on his back. 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ came into the world to save sinners. First John 3:5, Christ came into this world to take away our sins. First Timothy 2:6, Christ was the price that was given for us and our sins. Romans 8:32, Christ was made a debtor for us. Colossians 2:14, Christ has paid our debts, for he died for us. 1 John 2:2, Christ made satisfaction for us and our sins, and I might add, and our sinful condition. First Corinthians 1:30, Christ is our righteousness. And again, in that same verse, Christ is our satisfaction. It says, for God has made Jesus unto us righteousness. And wisdom and righteousness and sanctification, that is that word, and sorry, I'm attempting to go by memory here because I'm adding to Patrick Hamilton, and our salvation. Colossians 1:14, Christ is our redemption, the full price paid. 1:5 of Romans, Christ is our peace. Romans 7:6, Christ delivered us from the law, from the devil, and from hell. Ephesians 4:32, the Father of heaven has forgiven us our sins for Christ's sake. Or any other word of Scripture which declares unto us the mercy of God. He goes on to describe the nature of the office of the law and the nature and office of the gospel. Listen. If you have ears, listen. The law shows us our sin. The gospel shows us our remedy for it. The law, Romans 7:14. The law shows us our condemnation. Colossians 1:14. The gospel shows us our redemption. Romans 4:15, the law is the word of ire. Acts 20:24, the gospel is the word of grace. Unmerited favor, I added. Deuteronomy 27:13-26, the law is the word of despair. Luke 2:11, the gospel is the word of comfort. Romans 7:8, the law is the word of unrest. Ephesians 6:23, the gospel is the word of peace. He makes a disputation, and again, he's doing more comparison between the law and the gospel to show us the difference between them both. The law says, pay your debt. The gospel says, Christ has paid it. We're not only forgiven our debts, but our debts are fully paid. The law says, you are a sinner. Despair, and you shall be damned. The gospel says, your sins are forgiven you. Be of good comfort, for you shall be saved. The law says, make amends for your sins. You know, go say 10 Our Fathers and 10 Hail Marys. Go do a pilgrimage. Go do this. Go give up that thing during Lent. Go do this, do that. The law says, make amends for your sins. The gospel says, Christ has made it for you. The law says the Father of heaven is angry with you. The gospel says Christ has pacified him with his own blood. With his own life. The law says, where is your righteousness, goodness, and satisfaction? The gospel says, Christ is your righteousness, your goodness, and your satisfaction. Full price paid. The law says, you are bound and obliged to me, to the devil, and to hell. The gospel says, Christ has delivered you from them all. He came out of the grave with the keys to death and hell. He took that power that the devil used to condemn us, to accuse us, that power that Adam and Eve turned over to him all the way back in the Garden of Eden. But Christ came out of the grave and muted, if you will, took away that power, because he now holds that power of death and hell. He goes on to say, faith is to believe God. Now, you know, it's a little weak. I've taught it too often here. It would be better to say, faith is to trust God, to lean on God, to run to him as a refuge, to act on his promises, to grab hold of his promises. That's what faith is. Like as Abraham amened, that is, had no doubt in God and what he said, and it was imputed, that is, from an outside source into him, unto him for righteousness. To faith God is to trust his word and to count it true what he says. He that believes not God's word, faiths not. He who faiths not God's word, faiths not God himself. He that faiths not God's word counts God a liar, and faiths not that he may and will fulfill his word. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should change his mind. As he said, so shall he do. As he has spoken, so shall it be. Folks, you want to stay with the law? Well, then, and your own righteousness, then go to hell. But God, who has chosen us from before the foundation of the world for himself, will do what he said, which is certainly in its fullness beyond what we see here on this earth, in this life. There is plenty of what God said that can be seen as evidence of his faithfulness in this world, but that which God purposed for his chosen, that is, eternal life, shall be seen over there while we are in this life. We live by faith and not by sight. I want to attempt to give witness to the job of the faithful householder, that is, the despot over the house. We're talking to the people who belong to the Lord in Isaiah 43rd chapter. The 8th verse says, bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. The 10th verse says, ye are my witnesses. I'm sorry, let's go back and continue in the 9th verse. It says, let all nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, King James says. Righteousified is contextually better translation. And let them hear and say, it is truth. Amen, is the Hebrew. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. If we look to the Septuagint Old Testament translation in the Greek, it is the same word as found in Ephesians 1:4, exelexitos, already chosen out from among those who are not chosen. And God did this for himself. He says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen for myself, that ye may know yada. It is an intimate relationship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And it says, I have chosen that ye may know, have this intimate relationship. And King James says, believe. No, the word is amen. And have no doubt in me. And understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. My prayer is, God, open the ears of the deaf and open the eyes of the blind, that they may hear and see your good news, your God spiel, your word, Father, which is forever settled in heaven.